Let's turn our Bibles over to 2 Kings 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, and it is customary for us to stand and read the word. Amen. Let's turn there. Let's all get on our feet and let's give honor to the word of God. Amen. Praise God. This morning we're going to talk about the unpredictable God. The unpredictable God. Amen. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, watch these words, was a great and honorable, he was what? Great and honorable. Listen to me, I want to be great and I want to be honorable. Come on, somebody claim something this morning, man. Take good stuff. When you see good things, take it. Right? It's like when you were single and you see a good woman, a nice looking girl. You ask all the single ladies, when they see the nice men come in the room, they all start looking around like with glee, like, oh, yes, here comes pudding. Or some of you might say jerk chicken. Whatever you want to put on it, whatever spin you try to put, it gets you to the same place. Amen? So, he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man. What kind of man? Great, honorable, mighty man of valor. He was not an ordinary man. If you picture the greatest of warriors, Naaman would have been counted among them. Because he was a man of valor. One that could not have been discounted at any time. He was always ready for his assignments. A man of valor. A strong man. But a leper. Great. Honorable. Mighty man of valor. What it is, what is your but this morning? What is your but? But he was a leper. Father, we thank you for this word. We pray, God, that you'll just breathe upon this house as we go through your word. Ekando robosha. Holy Ghost, just take the room. Take the room this morning and just use your word. And let your word speak to us. Oh, how we need to hear your voice. Oh, how we need to hear your voice. Oh, how we need to hear your voice this morning. Every one of us has a different part. We all have different areas that doesn't seem to fit. It doesn't seem to fit the resume of our life and to what you have called us to. Sometimes it seems, God, and we ask questions, how can we do it? Oh God, how can I do it when you have such a great call with this vice in my life? How am I going to break through? But today we ask, Holy Ghost, that you will bring clarity through your word, and let your spirit move in the name of Jesus. Amen. You might be seated. So here we see Naaman, great, mighty, honorable man, a man of great status in his nation, because he was not just an ordinary man. He was honorable before the king. He wasn't just honorable in his family structure, because, you know, most husbands and fathers are honorable in their own home. You know, you feel so good when you are at home. Even when you go out and you face all the challenges of the world, you might be in the corporate world, or you might be working as a laborer, or you might be a business owner. But when you go out, you face so many challenges, and sometimes you can feel underappreciated in the workforce. But when you walk home and you see those faces, they run to you and they say, Daddy, or they run to you and they say, Mommy, you feel encouraged. You feel built up. Your life is worth living because you are honorable to the ones of your home. And to your children, you are a champion. It doesn't matter what happens around you or what may be falling apart outside of your home. In your home, you are the hero of the home. But here, Naaman was beyond that. He was now a mighty man of valor to his nation. He was one who was meaningful to his nation. It's like when an army has a great general, the nation knows the name of that general. I can tell you a few. In America, whenever we're at war, we tend to hear the names of the generals. Like everyone knew at one time, General Petraeus. Because we were at war and he was in charge of the joint forces. So you get to know the names of the four-star generals. I believe in the nation of Syria, Naaman was a household name. Because he was not only honorable, he was great. He was great. He outnumbered his peers in his greatness. He stood out. So he was honorable, he was great, he was a man of valor, but there was a problem with Naaman. Naaman was a leper. And as I looked at this, I'm like, a leper doesn't go well with a general. Because as a leper, no one wants to be around you. So I am wondering here, this scripture made me ponder how it is Naaman led his men. Being a leper. When I think of this, you know, it's like an oxymoronic situation. It just does not fix. It's like they found themselves in a conundrum because it's like you're going to a doctor who should have been a lung specialist and he tells you not to smoke, but yet whilst you're at the office waiting on him, he's outside smoking. Or you go and you find out that the neighborhood police, the guy that patrols your block, is a thief. It just does not fit. Or you find out that your pastor is an adulterer. It just doesn't fit. So here Naaman finds himself in a situation which can upturn his entire life, upturn his entire reason for living, being so great in the military. I'm like, God, how is it he is able to function knowing that he's carrying such a load physically? It is not something that is hidden. You know, sometimes you carry stuff in your heart and you're carrying emotional pains and emotional struggles. You know, sometimes your spouse is not living well in the house, but you put on a smile either way. But here, Naaman could not have hid his leprosy. But yet he continued to be great. Yet he continued to be honorable, meaning he was blameless. When you're honorable, that means you have a spirit of excellence because you can be great at war, but you can be a terrible person. You can have terrible qualities. But here we saw Naaman was a man that was well put together, but yet he suffered with leprosy. But there was a little girl in the house. And when you continue reading, it says, and the Syrians had gone out on raid and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife, meaning she served his wife. Then she said to the mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Only if he was with the man of God. And in this story here, you see that this is a situation. Naaman needs help because he was great, honorable, a man of valor. So guess what? The king must have tried everything to help Naaman, because Naaman is so valuable to the kingdom. But nothing could have helped. But the little girl, let me tell you, God would position people in your life for every season and situation. When God wants to show forth his glory, he positions you, his children, in the lives of other people to bring them to the realization that there is a God. Do not take your assignment light on the earth. Know and move and understand that you are a child of destiny. You're a child of purpose. And you must be honorable. And you must be great. And you must be full of valor. Because he that is on the inside of you is greater than the opposing forces around you. And any snare that the enemy would want to bring up against you, God is able to bring it and bring it down to size, because he is greater than anything you will face. I want to encourage you this morning. God will position the right people at the right time. At the right time, be patient. Be of a good courage. God is the one that brings it to pass. Nothing good happens before its time. I say that again. Nothing good happens before its time. God has a way of aligning you and favoring you at the right time. At the right time. So then God positioned the little girl, the young woman. Anyone ever picture what this girl looked like? Anyone ever pictured her? I did that. Because I knew this story from when I was in Sunday school, so I picture a little girl that doesn't look necessarily like Naaman and his wife. She looks like an outsider. Sometimes you might feel like an outsider. You may feel like you do not belong. As children of God, sometimes we feel like that. Because the world, Jesus said, we're in this world, but we're not of the world. But that does not mean you will not affect the world. Sometimes we discount ourselves not being like the world, hence we're not effective. I want to tell you, Jesus said, for behold, all authority I've given to you. Oh my God, I've given you authority over demons. I've given you authority over principalities. I've given you authority over powers. I've given you authority over the devil. So even though you do not fit the mold, you're still effective. You are still effective. Because he said, you shall receive power that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will be my witness. Amen? Today we don't have to look like the world. This young lady did not look like Naaman or his wife. She did not have their customs, because if she had their customs, she would have never said, or nor did she give over to their beliefs when she found herself in the home of her master. She said, no, sir, if you would have only been down in Samaria with the man of God, you would have been healed. You would have been cleansed. You would have been washed. Because if you get to the man of God, you're going to get to the power. You're going to get to the source of his power. And you will be able to experience the miraculous. It is important the people you find yourself around. So then Naaman says, if this is so, I am great, I am honorable, I'm a man of valor, but I'm a leper. And eventually lepers get sent to a leper's colony. When it gets bad enough, you get sent to a leper colony. And you become an outcast of society. It doesn't matter what your name is, how pretty you look, how handsome you look, how strong you might be. Your destination is a leper's colony. I want to tell somebody today that's playing around with the devil and playing around with sin and living the way you want to live. I want to tell you this, appointed unto man wants to die, and after death comes the judgment. Get it right today. Jesus is looking to give you a washing. Would you receive that washing? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. When sinners hit the flood, it washes off their guilty stains. I want to tell you today, God has a washing for you. But will you be like Naaman? When Naaman heard about the potential deliverance, Naaman then went to the king. He went to the king and he said, "Oh king, the little girl living with me said that if I go down to Samaria, I'm going to be cleansed." And could you imagine how exciting that must have been to the king? Because if you're a boss and you have a good employee, you will do whatever it takes to keep them. If you got to give them a pay raise because they are indispensable. You know, there are a few good people like that. People will pay you double just to stay on the job. And I want to encourage you, all of you sitting and those online, if you're honorable, if you're great, if you're a man or a woman of valor, they're going to pay you double and triple to keep you around, because there's only one of you. And that is how we, the children of God, has to be. We have to be. I know this one lady, even during the pandemic, she wasn't going to work, but her boss was sending her money because they didn't want to lose her. They didn't want to lose her. They were sending her money, making sure her bills, she wasn't going to work. But they were sending her money to make sure that she was well kept, because she was such a good worker. That is how we have to be. Know that when you're working, you're not working unto man. You're working unto God. So Naaman said, "Listen, king, I've got to go down to Samaria." So the king said, "Naaman, here, I'm going to write a letter and I'm going to send you. And I'm going to give you gold and I'm going to give you silver. I'm going to prepare you, because you know you got to come before the prophet with a gift. You come to the man of God with something, right, to show your the honor for him, to show your appreciation for him." So here he is going. But the problem was, the letter was written to the wrong person. The king wrote the letter to the king of Israel. Naaman went to the king of Israel. When he got down to the king of Israel, he came with all these wonderful offerings and gifts. And he showed up at the king's door. And he presented the letter to the king. And the letter said, let's get into the word. Let's get down to verse 7. "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God? Am I God to kill and make alive? To kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy. Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" So what the king was saying, he said, what the king of Syria is trying to do, he's trying to pick a fight with me. He knows that I'm not able to heal any person or individual, but yet he's trying to make me do it. And if I don't do it, he then has something against me to go to war against me. And Syria had already went to war against Israel, and that's how they got the little girl. They took her captive, because they were a powerful army. But I want to tell you, the things that the men of God and the women of God are to deal with, kings and governments are not able to deal with it. What the king was asking of the king of Israel was outside of his league. He could not have managed. There are certain things that only God can do, and only the people. Let me tell you, watch this. She said, "You have to go down to the man of God, not to the king." Governments are to protect. Governments institute laws. Governments keep the peace. But governments do not operate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. The church is the powerhouse in the earth. Jesus didn't say, I am building the nations of the earth. He said, I am building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I want to tell you something of what governments do. Read Psalm chapter 2. He says, why do the heathen rage? Why do they imagine a vain things? Why do the kings of the earth gather themselves against our Lord and his Christ? Listen to me, church. He said, you got to go down to the man of God, and the man of God has your answer. We're in the world, we're not of the world. We have what the world needs. The world can have money, the world can have power, but when disease hits, there is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do. That is when you look for somebody that is greater than what you see. Sometimes we get so hooked up on what it is we see. We like the cars, we like the house, and all we're doing is striving to get those things and to look good in front of man, but there is a time where those things do not satisfy anymore, and only Jesus can fill the gap. Only Jesus can give you hope. Only Jesus can fill the emptiness in your heart. And here Naaman was in a situation where only God could have intervened. Only God could have intervened. And he says, king said, boy, this one is out of my league. I can't do this one. You see, we can't get things mixed up. What belongs to God is God's. And let's look at verse 8. It says, so it was when Elisha, the man of God. So now things are falling in place for Naaman. Because he needed to go and see the man of God. Heard that the king of Israel had tore his clothes, meaning he is frustrated, he's confused, he can't handle it anymore. So he tears his clothes because it is above his pay grade, let's put it that way. And he heard that the king, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. You see, the power of God, when we work the works of God and we manifest the power of God, it bears witness. It bears witness to the power of God. And only the children of God, the sons and daughters of God, are able to work the works of God. Can I show you this? With the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. When the apostles were going around preaching the gospel and delivering people, the sons of Sceva saw it and they desired that power. And they wanted that power because it would have brought them great gain. So they went around and they started to try to cast out demons. So they were operating. So they said, okay, Paul and Apollos is working this thing. I can go do it too. So they went out and they started to rebuke demons and they started to try. And when they spoke to the demons spoke back to them and the demons rebuked them. And they said, Paul, I know. Apollos, I know. But who are you? Who are you? We got to get fit for the job we're doing. Amen? When God calls you and he saves you, he then empowers you, and as much as you want, he will give to you. He said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Those who hunger and thirst after the things of the kingdom will be filled. But if there is no hunger and there is no thirst, then there is no release. There is no release. So things are finally coming together, and Elisha said, send him over to me. And when Naaman came to Elisha, he asked for the man of God. The man of God didn't even come out to him. The man of God sent his prophet to him, to his servant. One of the sons of the prophet, he said, go out. He sent one of his sons to him. This is where we get the concept of spiritual sons and daughters, one of the places in the word. You see what it is? Nobody wants to be fathered. Nobody wants to be fathered. The pastor is set as a father in the house. If you have a father, you can be nurtured. But if you do not have a father, you will not be nurtured in the faith. So he sent his son and he said, hey son, go out and tell Naaman to go and dip in the Jordan. Now, can I show you there? The man of God sent his servant. Hence, the power and the authority of the man of God goes with the servant. If the servant went on his own, and I'm going to show you later, if he went on his own, there would have been no power. In the book of Acts, whenever they would send out people, they would not go on their own. They would have been sent. They would lay hands on them, fast and pray, and release them. Hence, they go with the power to operate. You see, when Jesus was on earth, he also blessed his disciples and he sent them out. They never went. You know, there's a little saying in the church, one of the Christianese thing is, some went, but some were sent. And the ones that went always hit roadblocks and they're always trying to adopt a daddy as they go along because they are orphans. They're fatherless. They're fatherless. And in ministry, you cannot be fatherless. You must have spiritual covering. You must have spiritual covering. And everyone in this house that belong to this house, if you don't have, if you don't know who your daddy is, get to know your daddy. And if your daddy is out of the church, out of this house, go where your daddy is. Or else you will never be blessed. Because you will not be hearing from the voice of your father. Your spiritual father, you will not be here. So the man of God went and he obeyed what the man, the servant went and obeyed what the prophet said. And he told him, he said, go dip 7 times in the Jordan. And it did. Naaman was disappointed. Naaman said, oh my God, why would he send me to the waters of Israel? There are other rivers that are clean. Why don't he send me there? But what God was trying to deal with was the pride in his heart. Sometimes we want healing and we want deliverance, but God is saying, get rid of the pride, get rid of the lies, because it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The little foxes, the unseen things, the thoughts, the looks, is what spoils your future. You're wondering why you can't break through, why you can't go to the next level in your life, in your ministry. You say, I've been serving God for 20, 30 years. I want to tell you some principles in the kingdom. You must submit yourself to leadership. If you don't submit yourself to leadership, you're not going anywhere. Today, people understand the power of leadership. Now people are paying to be coached. Because they understand they can achieve more if they have a coach. Just like in the NBA and in the NFL, the great coaches are able to go through no matter what, how great the other team is. They're able to come up with plans and schemes to be able to overcome. So guess what? People are now paying to be coached because they're not able to come up with strategies. So someone else is able. They pay them. They receive strategy and then they go forth and they get promoted. He tell him, go. Go. Dip 7 times. You see, pride hinders our breakthrough. Pride hinders our breakthrough. Know that pride is the source of great destruction. How do you know that? The Bible said pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, a know-it-all spirit, a repulsive spirit, before a fall. So Naaman now had to deal with his pride. Would his pride keep him back from being excluded from society? Or would he now conquer pride and walk into the destiny that God had already ordained for him? You see, Naaman was already healed. The moment he showed up, The moment he showed up at the man of God's house, he was healed. From the moment he got the word of God, he was healed. But it was now his choice to say, okay, I'm going to do it. Or no, man, this is too low for a man of great honor, a man of valor. I'm too great for that. But I want to tell you, there's something about God. 1 Samuel 2:8 says, he raises up the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. God's way is not our way. We look at the people who seem to be at the top of society and we tend to give them great honor and we tend to look up to them. But I'm telling you, God is cooking up some stuff with some people that are of a pure heart, clean hands, that are humbler, that are lowly in spirit, because promotion does not come from the east nor from the west, but it comes from God. He said he will bring the poor out of the dust. You know, sometimes you know some people growing up and you said these people came from nothing. They were nothing. Their family was so poor, but all of a sudden you see them rise and you know they did it the right way. But when God gets ready to add his favor to your life, when you obey him, he is able to seat you with princes, even with the princes of his people. So when God says to do something, don't question him. Don't question him. Because what you're doing, you're locking yourself out of your blessing. And I see this again in the New Testament when in John chapter 9:11, when the man cried out to Jesus, the blind man cried out, the beggar on the street cried out. And Jesus did not touch his eyes. Jesus did not speak a word of healing. No, Jesus spat on the ground. He spat on the ground. You're telling me you're going to put your spit on my eyes? You're going to put your spit on my eyes. The word of God says, my ways are not your ways. Nor my thoughts. You see, we have to come to a place to submit to God with all our hearts. Whatever God wants to do with me and whatever twist and whatever turn he wants to take me on, I'm willing to go, because where he leads, there I will follow. Mighty God, he says he goes before me. He clears the way and he's able to turn the worst into a blessing. He's able to turn my disappointment into my greatest triumphs. Got to know God and trust God. So Jesus spat on the ground and he put it on the man's eyes. Quite unconventional. Quite unconventional. And here Naaman had a situation like that where he had to have gone down to the Jordan and take a dip. But his servant spoke to him, and the servant said to him, let's look here. And his servant came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I want to tell somebody this morning, God is saying to you, if you would follow my directions, if you would live by my commandments, if you will not find them hard and grievous, the word of God declares that his commandments are not grievous, that the devil puts dark shades in our eyes and put deceptions in our hearts, and he says that the Christian life life is impossible. I can't keep up with this life. I can't obey the word. I can't get baptized. I can't choose to live. You see, one of the deceptions, and as we're dealing with water here, I see that as a picture of going into the water. When we go down in the waters of baptism, we accept Jesus. We go and we get baptized. We are washed. We are cleansed. It's a new level of cleansing that takes place. But I want to tell somebody this morning that's on the border that says, I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not good enough. That is the plan of the devil. That is pride filling your heart. And you're figuring that you can do it your way. But this morning, God is saying, just be obedient to my word. Follow what I have set up. And then you'll be able to inherit all the blessings that I have stored up for you. Stored up for you. You see, if Naaman did not go into the water, the healing was already stored up. The healing was already stored up, but he had to have gone through the process of dipping seven times to receive what was stored up for him in order to release or unlock what was already stored up for him. This morning, let us not be so hard-hearted. Let us not have a stony heart towards the word of God. Let us open up our hearts and say, God, where you lead, I will follow. What you say, I'm going to do. What you have for me, I want it. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to be obedient, and I want to be a person of purpose that is even positioned in situations that I could point people to God. I want to be like that young woman that would point people to God. I want to make a difference. I want to show your power. I want your power to show forth in my life. I want to be a vessel or a carrier of the glory of God. I want to be so spirit-filled that when I lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. I want to be able to speak to people that are bound in situations, and just my word will bring freedom to them, because your word declares that there is life in my tongue. There is life in my tongue. There is blessings in my tongue. There is hope in my mouth, because the word of God has been deposited in my heart and in my mouth. And mighty God, give me the boldness that I may speak. You see, this young woman could have sat up in the house of Nathan, served them, and never point them to God. But she was bold. But Naaman, it was up to him now, after he received the instruction. After he received the instruction to receive what was stored up for him. Today I want to tell you, go and get what God has for you. Reach out. Reach out.